his mercy. Praise him for his mercy. Praise him for his love. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. So let's lift up our hands and praise the Lord. Oh, why don't you lift up your hands and praise the Lord?
Just praise
him for his mercy. Praise him for his love. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. So let's lift up our hands and praise the Lord. Amen. Go ahead, sis.
I hope I didn't jump up here too fast. You know, but I want to praise my Lord. He is so worthy to be praised, you know. I'm just so glad that I can say I'm one of them. He has been so good to me, you know. I've got to praise him for my leg. You know, he brought me through my surgery. I'd heard so many stories, and it had me kind of scared. Because nobody wants to suffer. I didn't want to, you know, and I said, oh, Lord, please help me. Help me not to suffer so much. And you know he did. I haven't had much pain at all. And I thank him, I thank him so much that I haven't had much pain. But most of all, I thank him that he's given me an ear to hear this word. Oh, that he's brought me all the way down. He's brought my whole life. I look back and it's been God all the way. But I can't, you know, I'm just so overwhelmed, you know, to feel the presence of the Lord. So, you know, I know it's not in feeling, but I love to feel it, you know. I love to feel it, oh, yes. And I just thank him as I was hearing that song, you know, about the prophet, you know. Can't you see why I'm happy, you know? I'm so happy that I heard, and you know, I can think back years ago when I'd read them books. I didn't really know what I was reading, but it was something in me agreed with it. I would just think, oh God, I don't know really what I'm reading, but it's the truth. And you know, I owe it all to my Lord. And like I said, I'm just so thankful to be here and to be one of them.
Thankful to be one of them in this day and this hour to know what we know. I thank God of all the things he's given me. Give me an ear to hear. So I would like to ask Alicia, if she's back there, to remind us in music who we are. You know, it's like a cake or something. Everything will settle to the bottom, but you got to just stir it up. Good to see you, Sister Renee. God bless you. So somebody else can testify if they want to while we get pull our stuff up here.
Well, since you said that. you know, I'm thankful for that. That's true. Thankful for he's made a way. Thankful it's about his word. You know, we sit there and look at each other's feelings. And, you know, you stick around me very long, I'll stick you. You know, it's just my nature. I hang around you very long, you stick me. But it's just my nature. You know, that's just human. That's feelings, the wrong feelings. There's a good feeling, there's a wrong feeling. It's all part of it.
Amen.
But, you know, I'm thankful that it's about his word. I come here today to praise him.
Amen.
For what he has done.
Yes.
It's not about me. Not about my ups and downs and things and problems and you know, my stickiness. I got a lot of it. You know, it's not about me at all. It's
Amen.
About him.
That's right.
It's about him. He's made a way for me.
Yeah.
That's the thing I'm praising him for.
Amen.
He's made a way for every one of us. It's by his grace through our faith. And I'm so thankful for that.
Amen.
That is why I can pray. That's why I can raise above everything that life has to offer, everything that irritates me, put it quite bluntly, everything that irritates me. There's a lot of things that irritate me.
Amen.
But I can rise above every bit of that,
Amen.
And I know I'm here to praise him
Amen.
For what he has done.
Amen. Amen.
I just want to thank God for getting me here one more time. When you miss some services due to work or whatever the case may be, you can feel it when you, like, you're ready to come back, like, you, all these spirits are around you, and I just feel so, like we, like you said, irritated. Like, I just, I'm thankful to be back in peace. So.
Wait a minute.
I mean, I was like, I can't be up here and not say anything. I'm like, oh, no, wait. I'm not. But I just want to say I am really blessed and thankful that I am here for, you know, just God waking me up for what I know, for, you know, my brothers and sisters here, everybody here. And, you know, I just don't, I'm tired, you know, I'm not going to let the devil torment me anymore. I have some tests coming up tomorrow, so ask for your prayers. And I just believe for it. And I'm just, I mean, you just don't know how much, where I came from for where I am now. And I'm just grateful for that, to have the peace, the freedom that I have now that I did not have for so many years. I thank the Lord. I thank the Lord. God bless you all.
Amen.
Amen.
Out of the mouth of the holy, into the bright Irene, voice of the great provider, everything we need. Shelter in time of fear, telling us God is here. We are the Word of God. Open your hearts, believe it. We are the Word of God. Humble yourself, receive it. Listen and understand that we are the Son of Man, God's great master plan, the Word of God. There is a war afoot. Oh, I missed it, sorry. I don't know where I'm at. Sword of the Spirit. Okay, sorry. We are the Word of. Okay, sorry, guys. We are. Highs. We are the Word of God. Open your hearts, believe it. We are the Word of God.
Amen.
Humble yourself, receive it. Listen and understand that we are the Son of Man, God's great master plan, the Word of God. And in the darkest hour, the only light, alive with heaven's power, to win the fight. We are the Word of God. Open your hearts, believe it. We are the Word of God. Humble yourself, receive it. Listen and understand that we are the Son of Man, God's great master plan, the Word of God. The Word of God. The Word of God. The Word of God.
I don't want to hold everybody, but I just want to thank God for being here. And I also want to thank God for this revelation. And last week, I was just thinking about it, Pastor Moore, that we were in Indiana just 7 days ago. You know, and what I got out of that whole burial and everything is the peace of God. You know, and that you believe God has it, no matter what it brings, you know. And also, it's an end to the struggling nature.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's right.
Amen. You know, we struggle with things every day. For what? For what? I saw it's just a trick of Satan, brother. You're just a truth. Because, you know, you look at his life, and it was actually the life of Joshua. It was the book of Joshua, actually, that everybody was reading his life. And I'm just so thankful. Amen. And I want to be that living testimony, yes, that when I lay it down, yeah, it will be the book of Michelle. You know, from the beginning and to end. And I always have to laugh. One of my brothers would always say, but not every chapter should be read out loud. So I'm just so thankful for that. You know, and one more thing I just want to say, and Pastor Moore, if I'm out, just correct me. Okay, get me if I'm out. But our neighbor across the street, the lady in the little tan house, she approached me today, and she has family and friends and church in Tennessee, and she said that there has stopped donations, that some kind of way it's not getting through, but their church is sending down another semi, and if anybody here would like to donate, just put it on her porch. And she came up to me, and all of you guys are now going to know that this is kind of funny as well. She said, they're forgetting the children. I said, I believe you. So, you know, as her heart pours out, she said, if we have any donation. She said, and it's cold there. She said, last night it was 43 degrees. And she said, people don't think Tennessee gets cold. She said, it gets cold. So she was like, just as a body. You know, she's not asking for cash or anything like that. She just like, if you have anything that you want to get, leave it on the porch, and she'll make sure it gets to the church. So, Pastor Moore, I just said what she said, so I'm good, okay, because she's not asked. She just thinks our body is fantastic. She watches us, our testimony over the years. She's been there. She's lived in that house for probably 50, 60 years. I've known her for 30. So, I'm just so thankful that our body can be that type of testimony, that she can feel, amen, comfortable enough to come across, yes, and say, hey, you guys, you've been the example, so I know you guys will help. So thank you. I'm sorry, anytime. Her porch is right straight ahead, the double doors. And she said, just leave it on her porch, and she will take care of it from there.
I see y'all lining up, but I want to ask Brother Hicks if he's got something to say. Amen. I know you had to drive a while to get up here, brother, so I'd love to hear from you.
You know, we always got to have something to say.
Amen.
I mean, you know how it is, but you don't, yes, want to bust in line, but I do praise God for a lot of things.
Amen.
I mean, you know, until I got into this message, you know, I didn't understand anything.
Right.
You know, you're supposed to do this, you're supposed to do that, you're supposed to do this. And to come to find out, I just got to be myself.
Come on,
you know,
come
he
on.
He made me, right, and he made me this way, so all I got to do is be myself.
That's right.
And that has taken a lot, and it has took my heart very much. And I just thank God for my wife.
Yeah.
She has helped me along the way, talking to me about it. And, you know, I read more now today than I've ever read in my life. I hated to read, but I read more today than I have ever. And it helps me to hear what's preached, and then you read this, and it ties all together. You don't have one leading you this way and one leading you that way. You know, and it's just... I just thank God for it. That's all I can say.
Amen.
I don't know who was next. Go ahead.
Oh, man, am I nervous. But, shoo, do I have a testimony to tell you all. Oh, my goodness. The devil don't want me up here, I tell you right now. I'm so nervous. All right. Well, anyway, as most of you know, I have a heart condition I found out. My heart valve is leaking. So now I'm on a medication 4 times a day for my heart. On top of that, I have I had a nerve test done, and I found out that my muscles are severely deteriorating, and I'm 27 years old. So this has been a lot on me, but I know that what we speak is so powerful.
Amen.
And I'm going to say I'm healed. Jesus is already going to take care of it.
That's right.
He's going to take care of my heart.
Amen.
I also have to say I see what God has done in my life. I really do. I see it. I lost my dad to cancer. There's the reason God took it. My dad was a miserable man. He was ready to go. And God placed, he made room for Colton in our life. He made room. There was no room in our house. He made room for us. I needed to lose my dad to grow up to become a woman. And I realized that I needed to become the mom. And the one thing I want to say is when I take my last breath, I hope my kids smile. I hope they know that mommy is going to heaven. And she lived a holy life.
Amen. Amen. Love that. Say it. My.
You know, I thought, what? I don't.
Amen.
I've just been gone so long. I'm just happy to be back.
We're happy to see you.
I was out doing amazing things. I mean, I could talk for an hour about things, but God brought me back. And that was something that I didn't say a whole lot to too many people, but one thing that got me through, Doug said, Renee, if God wants you to walk on water, you will. And I know that. That's overcoming. That's what that is. So it goes with anything in your life. If God wants you to go through this, you will. And he's going to give you everything that you need to overcome every single situation. But I got to be the word of God to so many people that are never, ever going to make their way to Fairborn Church. They're not going to be here. I love what the Word of God does
me.
It helps me deal with people, different cultures. It helps me understand where I am and why I'm there. And I don't take it for granted. I'm just so happy to be back home. I'm never leaving again, is how I feel. And you know, it gave me a new appreciation because I got to go to fun places. You guys don't get to go to fun places when you go. And I'm sure you make it. You make let me cancel that and go back. But I could never say enough about my pastor and my husband.
Amen.
And I'm very, very thankful. Happy to be here.
Lord, I need you now more than I ever have before. Lord, I need you today before I walk out the door. The same way I came before I leave, Lord, I need a change.
Lord, I need you now.
Oh, Lord, I need you now more than I ever change.
more time. Lord, I need you now.
Oh, Lord, I need you now.
More than I ever have. Today.
Lord, I need you today.
I need you, Lord.
Before I walk out the door.
Before I walk out the door. I don't want to leave this place the same way I came. Before
Pastor tells us to testify where we're at. Well, I thought I believed in prayer, but I really didn't. Not in action. If my daughter, if she gets a splinter, she runs to daddy to get it fixed. I get a splinter, well, I'll take care of it after I finish this job or, you know, fix it. No, we should run to our Father with our problems first.
Right.
Rather than exhausting all of our opportunities and using him as the last resort. We have no concept of how powerful prayer is.
That's right. Come on.
Even beyond our wildest dreams, make it as big as you can, and God is bigger. And this is, it's something I need to put into practice in a major way. There's no reason to stress about it first and try, you know, you lose your wallet, you tear apart your house, that's not. Why not stop saying, God, you know where the wallet is, help me. And then tear apart your house. And he'll find it. But you know, you put your priorities first. You put God first and everything, and he will show up.
Amen.
Go ahead, sis.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
I never know what I'm going to say when I get up here. But last week, you know, Jay's testimony, Brother Jay, I mean, he's an inspiration. Because I think about, you know, the things that I go through. And I always go back to you. If you can make it, I can make it.
Amen.
And like I said, you know, you might be 27, you know. Just keep your faith, you know. Like me and Kevin, we've been going through the ringer with me, of course. So now they think it's a neurology problem because I had got COVID. So they think I'm in the wrong place with the wrong doctors right now. So, of course, they're running my blood work and stuff and seeing. They think it's definitely a nerve problem, so why I can't walk. And I don't know if you guys know this, but just to walk, I mean, I'm 30% better, but just to walk is like over 10 severely for me.
Yeah, wow.
To walk over, my ankles lock up, my toes lock up. I've never felt this way before. You know, I've always been a strong person, like super strong. Thanks, baby. I mean, and you know, I was just thinking, you know, also about my husband. You know, all these young people in here, just remember when you get somebody in life, there's more than, like Pastor Moore says, looks and all that. You know, when I met Kevin, you know, I was thinking, this is such a good guy, you know. How come he doesn't have a bunch of girlfriends, or how come he, you know, he doesn't date a lot? And he told me, you know, no one ever really gave him a chance. And I'm glad that no one gave him a chance. Okay? Because he's a good husband, you know? We're totally different. Everybody knows that. Like, I mean, I'm night. He's day. It's definitely not the opposite. But, you know, I think to myself, all these people, you know, especially these young people, you know, you want to be popular in school. You want to be this. You want to be that. But really, the outside world is not really for you. You're going to learn that. Like I said, I was married for 20 years, and when I became single, I started dating, like I said, and I thought, there is no one really out here that's worthy, you know, honestly. And honestly, worthy of my love, because when I love somebody, I love them 100%. I give them my all. Anything I can do, I try to give him my all. Am I perfect? Far from it. But I try to give my all, you know, and I just think to myself, look for a good mate, someone that's really going to build you up,
amen,
you know, inspire you. And then I have the body, too, like I think of you, Brother John, when you said, don't let that devil get into your mind, because he does, especially when you're feeling pain like I do. He messes with you. But I always go back and think, if my brother Jay can make it, I definitely can make it. And I just tell everybody out there, you know. And then also, the other thing is find the right doctor. You know what I'm saying? Find the right doctor. I've been in limbo for the last year, and I finally found this surgeon who did my knee surgery. And he's like, I think you're in the wrong place. I don't think that, because I was telling him I'm going to pain management, and he doesn't think I need to be there, because he's like, yeah, you might manage your pain, but you're not fixing the problem, which is true. So he's doing blood work and sending me to a neurology doctor, because I don't know what has happened to my body, but I have faith in God. And, you know, the only thing I can think of to me is that God says sit down and slow down, because I don't sit down and I don't slow down. But I'm not having a choice right now, but I feel my strength of my church, and I feel stronger, and I thank the body. But like I said, make sure you know when you're picking a person in your life that they're supposed to want you to bring you better. You should never feel worse. If anything, that person in your life should make you feel better and want to do better. And bless you all.
Brother Warren, and then you, and then Sister Dawn.
You know, we overcome by our testimonies.
Amen.
And I just want to read something here. I'm not going to give Satan any glory. No, he doesn't. He's a liar anyway, so why would I want to praise a liar? So I'm just going to read something. Just this is to bring back to my remembrance. This is Revelations 19.
Amen.
I'm going to read verse 6 through 9. And I heard a voice, I heard as it were a voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Guess he's talking about there. That's the bride body there.
Yeah.
Amen. So let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready. Amen. Yes. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints.
Yes.
And he said unto me, I'll read it. And he said unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, these are the true sayings of God. And I wanted to bring this up because, I'll just come out and say it, spade's a spade, right? I didn't want Satan to beat me. If I ever get up here, I want to edify the body. You know, I don't want to just give a nothing testimony, so to speak. And, you know, so, you know, you get on a horse, you know, you fall off the saddle, get back up, get on that horse, you know, do something, you know, do something for God, especially God. God has been such, you know, he's worthy. And, you know, I see that, and I just picture myself there. I see myself there. I'm taking in this word. I'm just, you know, I don't know. I'm just blessed beyond. I mean, if no one else is, I am blessed beyond to know what I know. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. Absolutely. Blow it off there. There you go.
I just want to get up here today and say thank you to all of you guys. Someone gave me candy today. I just love candy, and everyone knows that. My dad knows that and stuff. But everyone knows, my dad knows I'm spoiled rotten. So I just want to say thank you to my dad and my mom and my stepmom. I want to say thank you, guys. And just make sure to believe. And ever since I got up here and did this first testimony, I've wanted to come back to church ever since. And it's awesome. I love being here. It's just, I feel that, you know, the presence of God coming. I come in my body and the spirit. I just love it. Amen.
Amen.
enjoyed that. You know, I love this body. And I was thinking, you know, I hear all the different needs or whatever. God is real. And I, you know, this whole week, Seth had talked about, well, it's God, the word of God coming out of the mouth of God, that faith is a substance. Such a substance you can stand as real as your eyes, as real as your head. And I'm just thankful because we have a reality in that word, a substance, and just God, touch all my body, touch all my loved ones, whatever, Lord, whatever you have in need, give them the faith, Lord, that they can realize they can step on that. Same for me. I'm just thankful. Thankful for my husband. He's a strong man. Thankful you're home. I missed you. Thankful the Bradys are home. I missed him. We're just not the same without each other. I'm trusting for you, sis. You know, I just thank God for being here. I thank God for revelation. I'm just grateful.
Okay. Thank you for the beautiful testimonies. Just remember, we're leaving Thursday bright and early, so be here by 4:30 so we can get all the bags loaded up in the van. Be ready to hit the road by 5 a.m. So let's sing I Need Thee, and we'll get him up.
I need thee.
as I come to Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. Oh, I need you, Lord. I can't do this without you. We can't walk this walk without you. Lord, we know that we can't do it in ourselves, so we turn to you. And Lord, you want to hear us to say that we need you. You want to have us ask for what we need. You won't even give it to us until we ask. For you said in your word, ask and it shall be given. And Lord, this morning we come asking. Some here today needs a touch in the body. We ask it, Lord. Some have mental issues that they're dealing with right now. Father, we ask you to move in their behalf and calm their nerves and calm their mind and settle them down so that they can be able to hear and understand the word of God that comes forth this morning. We ask you to walk these aisles, knowing that we can do nothing in ourselves, but God, if you will take the words that are here before us and you would speak to our hearts and break it down to us, we'll understand what you want from us, Lord. And Lord, we're more than willing to give you anything and everything that you want. Ask you to humble us, Lord. Bring us to a point, Lord. Lord, we can look to you for everything and not try to depend on our own understanding. But knowing, Lord Jesus, that you have made a way where there seemed to be no way. You've given us a desire to be in the house of God when so many are dropping off to the left and to the right. You give us a hunger for the truth. And Lord, all we ask is that you touch our bodies so that we can feel good when we come to the house. All we ask is that you touch our mind, that we can clearly understand your word. All we ask is you just give us the strength to walk this walk that's laid before us, that we can be your ambassadors to this world, that when they see us, they see you. When they hear us, they hear you. When we testify of your healing powers, Lord, it's glory to you, not to ourselves. That's what it's about. Oh, we don't want healing just so that we can feel good and go out in the world and do the things of the world. I want a body to please you. I want health to be able to serve you. I want to be able to go that I can just serve you and all that lies within me, Lord. Bless us this morning, Father. Bless this entire house. Come by here and speak to us, Lord. Oh, we know you're here. I can feel you. I can hear you. I can see you. I know you're here. So, Lord, let us just reach out this morning. Reach out and touch you. Reach out and get healing in our body. Lord, there was a little woman one time who needed a touch. And Lord, she didn't wait on you, but she thought if she could just press through the crowd, if we could just get a hold of you one time this morning, Lord. Oh, you can take care of the blood issues. You can take care of the heart issues. You can take care of the unsettled mind issues. You can settle us and give us a desire to, Lord, press towards that mark of the high calling. That's what we want this morning, Lord. Lord, we open up the word here. Open our hearts to receive it. Speak to us today, Father. We ask it in Jesus Christ's precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Good to see you all here. Tell them on the way to church, I feel like I haven't been here in a long time. I was just here Wednesday night. Pray for Brother Jeremiah. He's in the air right now, heading home. He's ready to come home, and we're ready to have him home. And it's good to have our ambassador back. Renee's been gone, and she's been out serving the Lord in her own capacity. You know, we are ambassadors. That's why I told Sister Sue that time she was going to Kentucky on our behalf, and she was going to visit family who was down there, and they had had that flood and storm and tornadoes, and she went down representing us. She was an ambassador to the Lord. And it's good that we can understand our role in helping people. Sometimes, you know, people think if you're not the preacher, then you don't have nothing to do. But we all have something to do. And I just saw Jada run back there. Hey, Jada. That's our college girl. She's home for the weekend. It's good to see her come home because, you know, some kids go to college. They forget God. They forget church. Sunday morning is a day to sleep in because they go to school all week. And to see her have a desire to come to the house of God, that's why I wanted her in Columbus. For one of the reasons I had her in Columbus, wanted her there. She was trying to decide on where to go to school, and she was thinking Texas, and she was thinking this, and I thought, she can't get to church in Texas. She can't get to church here, and she can't get to church there. And then she said she's going to Ohio State. And I thought, amen. So it's good that she's able to come home, and there's times I know she'll be doing her studies and can't get here. But when you can't get to the house, get to the house. I ain't talking to Jade. I'm talking to y'all. When you can get to the house, get here, because this is something rare. It's getting more and more rare in the hour that we're living in. People do not want to serve God. They have figured out their own way, and their way does not include coming to the house of God. And this is where you're supposed to go. That's what the Word says. So whenever you can get here, I know our young man here, he's come twice now, and both times he come, he has something to say. Well, that should be us all. And we ain't forgot you want to be baptized. Just you let us know when and where. We'll make it happen. Because we don't keep water back there. We like it fresh and cold. So just let us know when, and we'll make sure the waters run for you. And it's good to have you in the house. And we should be testifying. We should have somewhat to say. And, well, amen. I want to talk this morning, and I really enjoy Brother Seth on Wednesday night. He did a great job. Perfect faith for a perfect token. That's good. And I appreciate Jay last Sunday. Y'all doing good, doing some good things. And with Jeremiah going, I asked Seth if he would step up, and he did, and the body was edified, and that's what it's all about. It's not even a call. It's not even about being called a preacher. If you can get up and say something to edify the body, that's what it's about. And if you get up here and bore me, I'll be ready to sit you down. But if you can get up here, like Warren did, just got up here and read. You know, you can't miss. You say, well, devil's battling me on the this or that and the other, and I don't want to bore the people. All you got to do is bring the Bible like you did. Read the Scripture. We love to hear the Word of God. Sometimes we don't want to hear what we have to say, but you could never go wrong by reading the Word of God, because it's so good and it's so important. And every time you read it, we get something else out of it. So it's not like you read a book, a novel. You read a novel once, you put it on the shelf and never touch it again. But you read the Word of God and you pick it up again, and next time you read it, it's something else. You'll never get everything out of there. Because he's got to reveal it to you, and he only reveals it as he wants you to see it. He can't even get mad at you when you can't see it. It's not, you know, it's only given by him, and we appreciate that. Now I want to go over here, and I'm going to read a scripture that we've read before, and I like this because, you know, reading this puts everything in perspective. I like balanced scriptures. I like balanced word. I like God doing some things. And you know, when Seth talked about perfect faith on Wednesday, I wanted to go back and I wanted to read over here, James chapter 2. And we'll just read James chapter 2. And if you'll stand with me, we'll just read a few verses. You pray with me, because I got things on my mind I want to say. I want to make sure that you get the point and I don't drop the ball and get run out of time and everything else. So just say, shut up and quit talking and read then. I'll get there. I don't like rushing into the Word of God, because God sometimes has things He wants to say. Verse 18, James chapter 2, verse 18. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devil also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was his faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which said, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers, and hath sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. May the Lord add his blessings to the reading of the words. You may be seated. I want to title this message this morning, Perfect Faith in Action. Perfect Faith in Action. And I wanted to start here because you have to first find out what faith is. The scripture tells me, and I could have brought it, but I'm trying not to bring so much. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now you got to have faith, because without faith, it's impossible to please God. So you got to start there. You got to first believe that He is God. Amen. And He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. See, these are all scriptures I could have brought this morning. I'm just rolling them off the cuff. But it's all the Word of God. So it's all built on faith. But some people get faith and they stop. Some people get enough faith to be a Christian. They say, but not really a Christian, because to be a Christian is to be Christ-like. And so they get enough faith to believe there's a God. They believe, they have enough faith to believe that God is right. They have enough faith to believe God is real. They have enough faith to believe that, oh Lord, when I die, I want to go to heaven. They have enough faith for that. But if that's all you've got, you don't have enough. Oh, you got to have it. But faith and faith by itself ain't enough. Because I look at faith like, it's like a good thought. You can have a good thought, but if you never do anything about it, it ain't nothing but a good thought. You can tell me you love me, but if your actions don't show me that you love me, I don't have to believe you. Right. You can tell me you're married, and if I never see your wife, then you're not married as far as I'm concerned. So I have a right to doubt you if I don't see faith in action. Right. That's what James is saying here. He said over here, he said, you've got faith, but I'm doing something. Right. Okay. There's a lot of people say they believe this message, but they're sitting at home today. Some even tuning in. But I'm talking about perfect faith in action. Faith without action is dead. That's what James said. So it's not enough for you to just believe. Remember those disciples that met them on the road? And they had been with John the Baptist and was raised under his ministry. And they asked him, said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you had faith? Well, they didn't even know there was a Holy Ghost. So sometimes people can have faith because every man has a measure of faith. It's given out to every man. So everybody's got enough faith for something. Some people got enough faith that if they flip a light switch, the light's going to come on. That's faith. Some people have faith to believe that if they turn the key in the ignition of the car, that the car is going to start. Oh, that's faith. Some people believe that if they do this or that, something's going to happen. That's faith. But I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about taking the faith and putting it into action in your life.
Amen.
It's not enough just to say I'm a believer, but what's that doing to you? What kind of example does your life leave to show who you really are? If I can't look at you and see that you're a believer, then you're not a believer. Did everybody go home? All right. Okay. Stay with me now. I'm just getting started. Everybody's got a measure of faith, so I'm not turned on by your faith. I'm not even turned on by you saying I believe the message. I'm not turned on that you say that I was raised in a message home. Because what you do with the message is what proves if you really believe the message. It'll show. Whatever's in you, gonna come out. If God's not in you, God can't come out. If all you got is the world in you, all that's gonna come out of you when I squeeze you is the world. When I look at you and I see the world and I talk to you and I hear the world and everything about you is all over the world and I don't see anything about the word of God about you, you can talk about the message all you want. That's just simple faith, but I need faith in action.
Amen. Amen.
I need your life to change. I need you to have, I need you to step out on the word that you say you believe. You say you have faith. James said, I got works. Put my faith, put my works up against your faith, and you lose. All the spiritual people, they got all kind of faith, but they're backstabbing, back talking. I always tell them, I say, if you're so spiritual, pray for me. If you in such cahoots with God, you're so close to God, pray for me. Because I can use all the prayer I can get. But you know what? While they're talking, while they're doing their stuff with their lips, I'm fulfilling the word of God. And they might look holy. They might look clean. They might look godly. But don't have nothing to do with the word of God. Not even manifesting the word of God. You know, you get yourself a good apostolic. Oh, they live clean. But they're not doing the will of God. Get you a good Baptist. Get you a good Pentecostal. A good Catholic priest. They're doing a lot of good things. They're building hospitals. They're doing all this stuff. But they're not fulfilling the word of God. James said, show me your faith and I'll show you my works. I'll show you my faith by. See, you can't even, you got to have both. You can't claim God to be your God and not serving.
Amen.
And don't serve God without really knowing who He is.
Right.
It takes faith to believe God, but then when you really believe God, if you really have perfect faith, it's going to go into action in your life.
Yeah.
I don't have to make you do something. I don't have to make you come to church. I don't have to make you serve God. Coming to church and serving God, it'll be automatic because you will be fulfilling the word of God with every heartbeat.
Amen.
If you say, I believe this message, and you don't come to church, and you don't believe this message.
Amen.
I'm sorry.
Amen.
Your works prove you don't.
Yeah.
That actions prove you don't.
Amen.
And I don't care, and I'm not trying to pat you on the back and just claim numbers of people who believe me, because there's people believe you, me, around the world who tell me they believe me. So I don't care whether you believe me or not. I'm not after that. I'm after somebody who will take the faith that they have and put it to action in their life.
Amen.
You say, I don't know if God's real. You'll never find out at home.
Amen.
Because his word's against it.
Right.
You can't even hear without a preacher.
Right.
And it can't be just any preacher.
Amen.
Say, I go to a good Baptist church. Well, you might go to a good Baptist church, but is he bringing you the word of God? That's the question you have to have, because it takes the word of God to build your faith, to put you in action.
Right.
And the action that God's trying to get you to fulfill is his word. He has no hands but yours. He has no eyes but yours. He has no lips but yours. That's why we're all ambassadors. That's why we all go, not just the preachers. Oh, I may be going to India, but some of you may be going downtown Dayton.
Yeah, that's right.
And it's just as important.
Yeah, right.
Because when they see your works, they'll glorify God.
Yeah.
They'll see what you do. They'll see your life. They'll be amazed at what they see out of you.
Yeah.
They're not going to read the Bible, because when they read the Bible, they misunderstand what the Bible says. So don't worry about them reading the Bible. They may read it, but they don't know what they're reading.
Right.
Oh, like Brother Hicks said, before he come to the message, he didn't know what the Bible was saying. He read it, but he didn't understand it.
Right.
But when you come under the message of the hour, the prophet that God gave us, a real live ministry, when you get to where God's spirit is dwelling amongst you, then God can discern your heart. He can talk to you, and he can reveal himself to you personally.
Right. Amen.
That's the way this works. That's the way it works.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
You can't just read this and think you got it. You can't just tell me you... Don't tell me you believe. I'd rather you not even tell me you believe. Don't even tell me you love me. You can tell me you love me all you want. If I don't see the actions behind the love, it's not real. Oh, some of you girls fall to these guys. They say, oh, I love you, I love you. They love you. All they want to do is sleep with you.
Amen.
They call it love, but it ain't love. You're just foolish for letting them.
Amen.
Amen.
The actions behind the words are what counts. The actions behind the word is what proves where your faith is. That's why James is saying, you show me your faith. Tell me you love Jesus. Tell me you love God all you want. But when I look at you, what do I see? When I watch you, what do I see? When I look at your fruit, what fruit are you showing? That's where the rubber meets the road. You can say you believe it all you want. You can tell me you love me all you want. You can tell me you believe what I preach all you want. But I don't get turned on by that. I watch your actions. He said, well, can we talk about faith again? Like, oh, I'm still talking about faith.
Amen.
I'm just setting the foundation. I'm showing you how it works. You know, it has to be proven to make sure that it's real.
Amen.
Unproven faith is not real. Because real faith is a substance. Real faith you build your life on. Real faith you get healing from. Real faith God does stuff. God moves. God answers prayers. Real faith God moves on these things. Now God has a way to do all things. And he knows why he's doing what he's doing. But your faith has to be backed by actions. Or it's not real faith. You say, well, I go to church every Sunday. I'm here every time the door is open. That's a good start. But see, God didn't save you to sit in a church. Jesus told him what to do. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. You ain't doing nothing here. You really not. This is a locker room. You ain't on the field. You ain't running the ball here. You ain't doing nothing in a locker room. This is where you get your coaching. This is where you get your encouragement. This is where you get your marching orders. This is where God tells you what he wants to do. Then you go out those doors and then you live what you heard preached. Amen. Brother Childers always says, don't testify no higher than you live.
Amen.
Says, I believe there is one God. Thou doest well. James pat me in the back. You believe in God. You believe in one God, not even the Trinity. You're on the right trail. Says you're doing a good job. But see, you ain't done nothing. So the devil does that. And tremble. You know, the devil is scared of some of us. When the Word of God, he's been smacked by the Word of God for 6,000 years. So he knows when God says it, he means it.
Amen.
Some of us don't believe that. We tread where angels fear to go. We do things. We go places we'll be and on and on and on. You know, fill in the blanks. You know what I'm saying. Where the devil won't even go. You think the devil made you do it. The devil ain't even going there. Blaming the devil on something you're doing. Oh, the devil made me. No, he didn't. The devil knows God's true to his word. You don't sometimes. You think, well, I don't need to. I know the Bible says, but this is the right way. But we justify, we do things. If it wasn't for the blood of Jesus Christ, we'd none make it. Because we ain't good. Come on. He said, well, my dress is way down here. I ain't worried about your dress. I'm saying, ain't none of us good but God. And it takes the grace of God for any of us to make it.
Amen.
We're going to scarcely be saved. So don't tell me you believe in God and think that's enough. I don't care if you believe in God or not. The Pope believes in God. The drunk on the street believes in God. You get them drunk enough, they'll talk about God. More than you will. They'll out-talk you about God. They know more about God. When they get, the drunker they get, the more about God they know. So you don't impress me when you tell me that you believe there's a God. You don't impress me when you say that you believe the message. I'm looking for faith in action. That's why these doors, this place ain't packed. Because most people don't have faith in action. They talk a good line. If I'm predestinated, I'll be there. If I'm not, I won't. You won't. Because your action shows you. If I can't get you here, you ain't going there.
Amen.
But wilt thou know, vain man? See, we get vanity. We get vain in our mind because we think that we've done something. We think that we know something. We think because we say we believe in God that we're something else. But no, you ain't even begun. You haven't even begun. Just to know God, you ain't even begun. You got to know your day, its message. And you got to believe it. And you got to receive it. You got to have faith in it. And then it puts itself to action in your life. That's not, now you're talking about faith in action. Everybody talking about faith, but I ain't worried about talking about faith. I'm talking about faith in action. I'm talking about God moving in you and putting himself to use in your life. And then James went back to Abraham. He says, was not Abraham our father justified by works? Wait a minute. I thought he was a father of faith. He is. But it wasn't faith just for faith's sake. He actually had to show God. See, God's a little funny. He's a little funny. He puts things out there and he tells you what he wants, but then what he'll do is he'll sit back and see what you're going to do. If it's faith in action, you fulfill what God is expecting of you. If it's not faith in action, you're going to do what you want to do. And you're going to make a fool of yourself and under the guise of Christianity, and God's going to say, I never knew you. I never knew you. So with Abraham, and I love that story of Abraham, because God, though he knew what Abraham was going to do, he didn't. Yeah, let's just lay that aside for now. Don't think about predestination for now. Just look at God as the creator. He created Abraham, and he wanted Abraham, but he wound Abraham up to see. You know, have you ever had one of those little toys that you wind them up and they walk across the floor? All you can do is wind them up and you set them down there and that little man starts walking. You don't know where he's going. Sometimes he goes to the corner and sits in the wall and just, sometimes he walks across the room and you don't know where he's going. Now that's the God part of God. That's the God part of Elohim.
Amen.
See, the manifestation of the God part of Elohim was that he wanted to see what was going to happen.
Amen.
He said, man, I thought we are predestinated, and we are. Well, I thought he knew us in his foreknowledge. And God knew us. Now listen close. God knew us in the role of Elohim.
Amen.
Remember Jesus? You say, oh, you don't have no scripture. Remember Jesus was here, and he asked him when the end was going to be, and Jesus said, I don't know. Why? Because that wasn't his role at the time. It wasn't given even to him. God, in the role of God. Now, this is deep now. I ain't talking about Elohim. We just set predestination and foreknowledge aside, and we took on God. God, in the role of God, was trying to see what we were going to do. Isn't that strange? That'll make your head spin. Because Elohim knew what Abraham was going to do. But God wanted to see it. Oh.
Amen.
All right.
Amen.
God wanted to see what Abraham was going to do. And, this just, I got it in here. I'm jumping too much. Genesis 22. Don't leave, James. We're coming back. But just Genesis 22. Flip over there real quick. That shouldn't be hard to find. It's the first book. Genesis 22. And verse 10. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. Yeah. Now, God was sitting back watching. He wanted to see faith in action. He didn't want to just, Abraham, yes, Lord, I believe you. You know, God, Abraham could have said that because God promised him a son and then gave it to him. So Abraham could have said, hallelujah, I believe you, Lord. You gave me a son. But God, in the role of God, was like, Abraham, do you believe me? Do you really believe me? Do you really, really want to serve me over top of what I promised I was going to give you? God, you're true to your word. You're true to your word. Abraham, take your son up there. Kill him. But you promised me him. He said, I'll do it, Lord. God was sitting back watching. Why would God have to sit back and watch if he already knew Abraham was going to do it? As the role of God, not Elohim, as the role of God, he sat here, and in verse 10, Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son, and the angel of the Lord called on him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. This is verse 12. And he said, lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thy anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God. All the way up until that point, God was trying to figure out, does Abraham really believe me or not? He said, well, God knows everything. Elohim knows everything. But God knows what Abraham, Elohim lets him know. Just like Jesus only knew what he needed to know. God said, now I know. Up until the manifestation, God himself was wondering. All right, back to James. He is not looking for us to just believe him by faith. Remember, God was watching this. God is watching you. You say, well, God knows I'm going to serve him out, does he? You know, God knows this morning that you're going to be here. Why? You're here. And God knows this morning that you're on the internet. He knew you weren't coming to church. Now he knows. Oh, now we're going to start to understand how God works as God. Isn't this weird that we would know this? So Elohim, self-existing one, holds it all. He holds the past, the present, and the future. All-knowing, self-existing one, declared the end from the beginning. That's Elohim for you. The whole plan of redemption came from Elohim. Remember, God wasn't even God until he created something to worship him. Amen. He wasn't even a God. It's a different role, a different hat, a different position, a different place. So God, in the role of God, is watching this thing play out. Amen. Oh, my. So now he knows you're going to be here. So don't tell me how much you love God until I see the action. Let's take some of this to Carolina. Was not Abraham, our father, justified by his works? Well, I thought he was justified by faith. He was justified by faith in action. Oh, you can say all you want. You can talk all you want. But take the knife and stab the boy. Now I know. That's action. Oh, you can say you believe this message. You can talk a good talk. You can say a lot of stuff. But let's get some mileage under you. Let's get 20, 30 years. I've seen people been to this church for 20 years walk away. And the day that they walked away, then I can look and say, now I know. I am God's representative. Now I know.
Amen.
That's God says this all the time. Now I know. You say you love me, but I see no action behind it. Now I know. God doesn't know it until it's manifested. That's why manifestation is so much, it's so important, and it's so real. Oh my goodness. If it doesn't manifest, it's not even real.
Amen.
Everything that God had in his mind will come to pass. But God has to wait and watch it manifest. Then and only then can he say, now I know. Oh, my goodness. I know where I'm going, so I'm excited before I get there. And the scriptures were fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God. And it was imputed unto him for righteousness. But it was imputed after the work. Not before. Your imputation comes after the work. You don't get imputed before. Some people are coming to church because they think, oh, I got it made. You don't have it made. He was imputed as righteousness after the act. You cannot get your righteousness imputed till after the act.
Right.
Oh, you say, well, God saw me from before the foundation of the world. I don't need to come to church no more. Now I know.
Right.
It ain't real. It never happened. He said, but God knew me, God knew of you, and God waited to see what you were going to do, because as God, he will supply you with all your needs, but he has to see it manifest.
Amen.
If it doesn't manifest, it never happened. If it doesn't manifest, it didn't come from the mind of God. It didn't come from Elohim. Oh, and isn't that amazing that we can divide Elohim from God? Don, doesn't that just blow your mind?
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Y'all thought James was just talking about y'all's good living. It's a bigger story than your little puny life. And scripture was fulfilled, which said, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. You see that how that by works, ooh, by what you do, a man is justified. Hallelujah, I'm justified under Luther. I'm sanctified under Wesley. I got the gifts of the Holy Ghost under Pentecost. I don't have to do nothing. I'm sorry. God himself don't even know what you're going to do till you do it. That stings. I almost hate to say that. And it's like stepping on thin ice. I know ain't nobody saying this. And I'm out here now, folks, so I just got to sink or swim. But now you're going to start to understand how your works come in. Because we thought, it doesn't matter what I do, I'm going to heaven anyhow. Your very life will prove whether you're going or not.
Amen.
If it doesn't manifest, it never happened. You know, I have a picture in my mind I want to paint. But you know what? It's just perfect in my mind. But it ain't going to show up on nobody's paper. All I can draw is stick people. And Clarice laughs at that. So I don't think I do good stick people. But if it doesn't manifest, it does. That's why I don't care to hear you. I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. You know. You married couple. That's including me. If you're always, I love you, I love you, love you, and never do nothing for your spouse. It's just lip service. It's just talking. I'd rather you not tell me you love me and you do it than you tell me you love me and you don't. It ain't even real until it's in action. See, that's what I'm telling you, girls. You don't listen to these little boys tell you they love them, and because you watch too much TV. You got that Hollywood love, and you think because he says he loves me, he really does. He does not.
Amen.
What has he done for you lately? Well, he told me he loved me, and he wanted to snuggle up next to me and just treat me just so nice. That ain't even for you. That's for him. He's holding my hand. He's doing that because he wants something. It is not even. I shouldn't tell all the secrets. He ain't holding your hands because he just love holding your hands. And you know that too. Your hand's connected to your arm.
Come on, amen.
The arm's connected to the shoulder. Real love is in action. It's in what you do. Oh, I told Brother Childers I loved him. I didn't tell him often because, you know, men don't have to say all that stuff. Man to man, we don't have to. But what I did, I showed him in action. He never had to doubt that I loved him. He never had to doubt that I loved this message. Y'all don't have to doubt I love this message. Not because I get up here and say, oh, hello, Brother Branham. I have all the quotes. I read the message. I just love. No. 44 years. Almost 45 years. And I'm deeper now than I've ever been. I love it more now than I've ever loved it. It's taken more out of my life now than it's ever taken. The more you love it, the more it takes from you. If you don't give to God, then you don't love God. It's all about you and your lust of the eye and your pride of life and your lust of the flesh. And all that you get is all that you got, and you never do nothing for God. Don't tell me you love God. You can tell me you love God, but I'll show you God by my works. You can talk all you want. That's why I'm not a talker. I'm really not much of a talker. Clarice gets so many tongue tied because she wants to talk. I don't want to talk. Say something. I can ride all day. I can sit in the house. But she wants me to talk. She'll talk. She wake up and I'm talking. I think she talks before she opens her eyes. Good morning. Today's Thursday. What's going on? I thought, let me get. I'm not a quick start like that. I'm quiet. I want to get my day going. I got to get it organized. That's me. But Clarice wants to start talking before her feet hit the floor. I'm like, man, I get it. I understand. And I, you know, I'll answer or whatever, but I've got to get going. I got things I got to do. She's like, come on, man, let's talk. Let's sit down, have coffee. Sometimes I'm trying to get out of the house, have stuff to do. And she wants to say, I have to go. I got to go. But she can't say I don't love her. I supply all her needs. She wants for nothing. She never has to look and say, well, I need to figure this out. I always have the answer. She never worries about it. I look at her sometimes. I said, we go to a restaurant to eat. She don't even bring it. She said, I'm going to put my purse in the trunk. I'm thinking, ain't your credit card in the purse? She ain't worried about that. She don't even look up when they bring the bill. But that's okay.
Amen.
That's love in action. That's love in action. A lot of times you want to hear somebody say, I love you, I love you. I don't say that a lot. Because if I don't show you all the talking I can do, won't do any good.
Amen.
I'm just lying to you to cover up my shortcomings.
Amen.
Just a bunch of words, Brother Lockett.
Amen.
But if I'm taking care of you, if I'm doing every, Brother Brown said, love is a man getting his lunchbox and going out to work every day.
Amen.
We don't count that as love. Did he bring flowers home? No. Did he bring chocolates? No. But he kept a roof over your head.
Right.
Kept the lights going. Right. Kept the water on. Yeah. He's done all these things and you mad because he didn't bring you flowers and say, I love you. If I'm doing everything I can to make you comfortable, you should never have to ask me if I love you.
Amen.
If you don't know me by now. You see how by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. talk is cheap, Brother Childress said. Takes money to buy whiskey. You can't just say you love me. You need to show it to me.
Amen.
Don't just tell me you love this word. You need to show it to me. Your life, your actions, your directions, your decisions, everything about you should change to match the love that you have for this truth. And if it doesn't change somewhere along the line, you don't even love it. You're fooling yourself. You're not fooling God, because God's sitting there saying, oh, now I know. See, now when you hear that term, you know what that means. That's a lot behind it. Oh, now I know. God's saying, oh, what you're manifesting isn't my word. And what you're loving isn't me. You love the world and the things of the world. If you love the world and the things of the world, the love of God is not in you.
Amen.
That's the scripture. I'm sorry. You can't say it any plainer than that. Likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she received the messengers and had sent them out the other way? Oh, she didn't just bring them in the house and give them hot tea and say, well, be gone. Go on, have a good day. She had work to do. If you believe that we are God's messengers, help us out. She was not justified just inviting them in. She was not justified by just saying, Abraham, we believe Abraham's line and we believe Israel, God's with him. That wasn't enough. She had to prove to God that she believed. And when she let those two guys down out of her window and she put that token on display, then God looked at Rahab and said, now I know.
Amen.
For as the body without the spirit is dead, what body? So without works, faith without works is dead. There's a lot more in that scripture than we gave it credit. We read the scripture and we thought, oh, I gotta do some work. I gotta serve God. I ain't worried about you. Listen to what Brother Branham said here in question and answer number 3. So usually, people that have gifts are the people who don't want gifts. Amen. See, Paul tried to run from the thing. So did Moses. Great leaders like that tried to run from the job. They know what laid before them. See, if you take a guy that's always, oh, Lord, fill me with power, and I'll go out here, and I'll cast devils, he'll never do it. God knows better than to trust anybody like that. See, he never did do it. It's the guy that don't want nothing to do with it, you see. That's the guy that God can take him and teach him something sometimes, you see. So then Judas came back rejoicing, all of them, that their names, and he said, don't rejoice because the devil's a subject to you. But rejoice because your names are written on the book of life. Now, if you notice and take Daniel also, because your name is on the book of life, because it is in heaven, your name has been recognized, it still doesn't mean that you're saved. See? You're not converted until you receive the Holy Ghost. Remember that. You're only potentially converted. Wait a minute. I thought God knew you. I thought God changed your name from before the foundation. I thought he put your name on the Lamb's Book of Life. You're only potentially converted. You're only potentially converted, see? If you ask me for an oak tree and I give you an acorn, potentially you have an oak tree. You're potentially saved. You're potentially glorified. You're potentially justified, right. Sanctified. We love Romans 8.
Right.
But all that's potential.
Yeah.
until the manifestation.
Amen.
Potentially you have an oak tree, potentially, but it isn't developed yet. That's the reason I believe in security the way I do. And me too, Brother Branham. If I ask for a cornfield and I see corn up about that high, he's talking about knee high. You know, you ain't got no corn there. About that high, potentially, I have a field of corn. Not it isn't. It's not developed yet. Something could happen. See, now you're on the road through justification and sanctification to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But when you're genuinely baptized with the Holy Ghost, you're in the kingdom. It's all potential until it manifests itself. You can't say you got a field of corn when it's knee high. Hurricane can come through. Tornado can come through. Fire can come through.
Amen.
Something can happen to it, and you get nothing out of it.
Right.
Steve's not here today, probably working on corn. He's not dealing with potential now. He's dealing with reality.
Right.
He's dealing with the manifestation of what potentially he put in there in the spring. Now he knows he's got corn. Oh, my.
Amen.
Okay. Brother Branham said in the Easter seal, he said, when you receive the Holy Spirit of God, it's God's potential waiting upon you that's already recognized you. And you're sealed by the Spirit of promise of God into the body of Christ. When God looked down at Calvary and seeing Jesus dying, he not only, remember Jesus died on the cross. But God was gambling. Because is he going to go through with it? And it looked pretty shaky there. Remember Jesus in the garden? Lord, if there's any way, take this cup from me. And God's like, oh, here we go. And he got over to the edge and looked. He's like, well, is it a go or is it a no-go? Is he going to do it? Jesus didn't have to die. Do you realize that? He didn't have to die. And he got all the way up to the garden. After all the signs and the wonders and the healings and the walking on water and everything else that happened, all that potentially brought him to Calvary there. And he was in the Garden of Gethsemane at a tipping point of a whole plan. And God was like, is he going to do it? And Jesus was like, I don't want to do this. This ain't fun. I don't want to do this. But it was Jesus' decision. See, you don't take it. No man takes my life. And in the garden, he's like, I don't want to do this. I'll come to the, this is scary. He was a man, you got to remember. He's like you and me. And he knew his job. He knew his scriptures. He knew what was required of him. What time is that? Oh, okay. He knew what was required of him. But Jesus had to decide to manifest Calvary. Though in the mind of Elohim, that lamb was already slain. But as God the Father, he was watching Jesus. And Jesus laid down his life. He said, not my will, but thine be done. God's like, whew, okay. Now we can get this price paid. Now we can pay this price to get everybody back. All my Old Testament saints and whoever's coming in the New Testament. Because remember, New Testament's potential. Calvary only paid the price. But it still had to be manifested. Perfect faith in action. Jesus was perfect faith in action. Enoch. We won't go over there, but Genesis 5. Enoch walked with God. Genesis 5, 23 and 24. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. You know, God tried Enoch. He tested him. He walked with him. He talked to him. He said, Enoch, will you do this? Enoch never turned God down. He never said, it's too great. I can't do this. Nobody understands me. I'm just, Enoch never complained. Everything God asked him to do, he did. And God said, Enoch, now I know. You're perfect. And I'm not going home today without you. Brother Brown said, Enoch typed the bride. Noah went over through the tribulation period and suffered and became a drunk and died. But Enoch walked before God for 500 years and had a testimony. He pleased God with rapturing faith. That's what he had. And just started walking right out and went up through the skies and went home with it without even tasting death. Never died at all. That's a type of we which are alive and remain shall not prevent or hinder those same type of people that are sleeping. They fell asleep on account of human age. That's the only reason that Paul and them died. They just didn't live long enough. Human age. They're not dead. The only thing it needs is the bridegroom to wake them, see? Wake them, yes. And we which are alive and remain shall not hinder those which are already fallen asleep. For the trumpet of God shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. Let's take another man with a quickening power. He's still talking about Enoch. Just another quote. This is the Easter seal. There was a man way long ago by the name of Enoch. When a new thing come along, when something come along and said, well, now we have to go back to the old school or this, that or the other, Enoch walked with God. Whatever God said do, Enoch never missed one word. That better be us. If Enoch is typing us, we can't miss one word. Enoch never missed one word. He walked with God. What was he? He was a son of God. He was an eagle that had been called to that day. And when come time, he was so full of that quickening power. Remember, he had walked 500 years or more before God, and not one time had he missed his word. Not one time did he misbehave himself. Not one time did he not keep his testimony. Everything that God told him to do, he went and done it. No argument about it. He just went and done it. No matter what anybody else thought, he went and done it. Why? He was full of that quickening power. We should be full of that quickening power. And whatever God asks of you, you should do. Don't avoid God because you think you know what God wants. You get before God and lay yourself out and say, Lord, here am I, send me. He was full of the quickening power. And when it comes time for that old man to die, God just sent down a ladder and he walked up home. He quickened him and took his mortal body up to in a rapture. Amen. That's that quickening power. That is where we should be. That's the hour we're living in. God is trying to get a group of people who can have the quickening power that Enoch had. Because the same thing that happened to Enoch is the same thing that has to happen to us. We need to give God our lives totally and let God do what he wants with us, regardless of what it is. You say, well, I've got my idea of what I think God wants. You don't know what God wants. You don't know what God, you don't even know what God was going to preach today. All you can do is come and present the body a living sacrifice, which is the least we can do, holy and acceptable unto him. Give God your body, and God will take it and put it into action to what he wants. You say, well, I got my idea of what I want to be. I got my idea of who I want to be. I got my life. I've got my wants. I've got died to all that junk. You need to line up with the Word of God, because God has a job for you. You're an ambassador of His, and He wants to put you in action. And He can't put you in action when you're holding back on yourself. He said, but you don't know what I've been through. I don't care what you've been through. God knows what you've been through. You open up your hand and let God have your life. Quit trying to hang on to your ideas. Quit trying to hang on to what you want. But God wants to be put in action in you. You don't know where He'll take you. I never dreamed I'd go to India. I still to this hour don't know why I'm going. But God knows. And God's sitting back looking. He said, will He do it? Will He really do it? He's talking pretty bold right now, but will He really go in January? And you know what? In January, He'll be able to look at me and say, now I know. Now I know. Up until January, it's just potential. I could back out. I could not get on the plane. I could stay home. But not my will. See, that's where the rubber meets the road. You want to do what you want to do. You want to control your life. Why would you want to control your life when you've made a mess of it?
Amen. Amen, Lord.
So why don't you give it to Him?
Yes.
He can definitely do a better job than you have. He can actually take your life, which is broken pieces, and He can put it into something that's a vessel that's usable by Him.
Amen.
Perfect faith in action. When you have perfect faith, you give God your entire life, not leaving any... No, you can't. When I invite you to my house, you can go in any room in the house. You go to some places... You don't feel welcome. You're on the front porch, and their welcome mat is backwards. I had somebody tell me one time, I turned my welcome mat backwards because I don't want nobody over. You know what? I didn't come over to their house very often. I went over, but I had to overcome me to do it because it's like, I don't feel welcome. And you go into the living room, and you sit in a chair, and you don't dare ask you to go to the bathroom. You just hold it till you get home. You're not welcome in the kitchen. You're not welcome in the bedrooms. You're not welcome in the bathrooms. You're not welcome in the basement. You just feel like, don't breathe too much because you might take up too much room. That's what some people make you feel. I like to go in a house where you can go in any room. I had nothing to hide. You guys say, well, I might have some dirty magazines back there. Then get rid of the dirty magazines. Don't lock me out just because you got... got dirty clothes all over the floor and the laundry, and I have to go through the laundry to get to the bathroom. See, in my house, you got to go through the laundry to get to the bath, my back bathroom. And if you had dirty clothes all on the floor, and then I have you in the living room, you're like, man, mind if I use your bathroom? And it's like, and the one that kills me is when you're stepping over all this stuff, and like, overlook the laundry. I'm doing it right now. I used to go to houses and their house was trashed. And I said, well, we're remodeling. God wants to go into every room of your house. Open up the door. Let Him have everything. Let Him have your future. Let Him have your past. Let Him have your present. Let Him decide which rooms He wants. He might not want your voice because you can't sing, but He might want your hands because you got good handwriting. He might not want your hands because you can't write, but He might want your feet because you can walk a long ways. He might not want this, but He might want that. He might want you to be married. He might want you to be single. He might tell you who He's going to give you to, a husband or a wife, but you like, no!
Right.
What have you done with it? He wants you to be the Word of God in action. Ah, He sang that today. What is that? We are the Word of God. That's who we are. And God needs to have every part of our house. If I wouldn't let Clarice in the kitchen, I'd say, Clarice, no, Clarice, don't go in that room. Well, I got to cook. No, well, that wouldn't last. And you're trying to control God, and he's looking at you, waiting to see what you're going to do. He don't know what you're going to do. Well, perfect faith in action. It's God moving through your body. And you stop trying to control him and let him control you. Start where God tells you to start. Stop where God tells you to stop. Pick up where God says pick up. Set down where God says set down. Start letting your actual actions be according to the word of God, not according to your thinking. Because you're fighting in your mind, and you're kicking against the prick. God wants to use you, but you won't let him. And God's looking at you saying, well, I thought you were going to do it, but now I know you're not. Now I know you're selfish. Now I know you want to run the house. Now I know you want to be the lead and not let me lead you. Now I know that you're not going to go all the way. God, well, he thinks you're going to go all the way until you stop going. He's like, now I know. He said you're going to go. He said, okay, let's do this thing. And now you're holding back. You're keeping yourself. You're locking down the door saying, God, you can't have this part of me. God saying, now I know. He put into the church the fivefold ministry. Ephesians 4, for the work of the ministry. Listen, I'm trying to rush, and I'm going to mess myself up trying to rush. Ephesians 4, verse 11. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors, and teachers. Why? Remember, I'm talking about perfect faith in that faith in action. Why did he give us these things? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. What body of Christ? That body of Christ. Until we all come into the unity of the faith. Did he know we were going to do it? No, that's why he put the fivefold ministry in there. That's like, I'm giving you all this help. Because we got to get a body that's perfected. We all got to come to perfection. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, right, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We've got the fivefold ministry, and it's been in every age, because in every age, man gets the word, then they get away from the word. They get the word, then they get away from the word. They get the word, then they get away from the word. And God always raises up another prophet at the end of every age to bring us back to the word. Because he was needing a body that was going to be perfect. And it took that fivefold ministry to bring a body to perfection. But to show you how this works, and I know we're at noon. I know I got clothes. But I ain't nowhere in a closing. I ain't even near the airport. Revelation chapter 5. Jesus sat on that throne for 2,000 years, playing the role of a mediator between God and man, because God wanted a bride, and Jesus stood in the gap saying, Lord, they'll be okay. I've got blood for that. Lord, I got blood for that. Lord, I got blood for that. But the whole time God's like, where's my bride? But Jesus sat there the whole time because God had to manifest in his body in every age. Until the manifestation, he didn't know. It was all potential. He had it in the mind. He had access to the word of God, which showed him that the seven stars are going to come. Because remember, the book of Revelations was written in potential. The seven stars were coming, the seven messengers were coming, seven church ages were coming, but Jesus had to sit there the whole time and watch it manifest, because God had to wait to see if it was going to really come to pass. That seventh church age bride was all potential when it was written by John in the book of Revelation. He said, but he saw it all. He saw it all, but it was all in the mind of God. Right. It's not even enough to just be in the mind of God. Right. Everything in the mind of God has to manifest, right, and will manifest. So the whole time the plan was in the mind of God, he had to wait to watch all of this come to pass. And at the completion of the seventh age, that angel got up there off of that throne. Revelation chapter 5, and I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book which was written, and on the backside sealed with seven seals. Remember, that book was sealed up. And nobody knew what was in it. And we couldn't even manifest. We did what we... See, that's why you got to understand. They did what they did down through the ages without the access to the seven seals. So it's not about you. You just are a vessel that he uses. We have the privilege of understanding the full word, but it's no different than what they did down through the ages, except for now we know. They didn't know, but we do know. The actions will still happen, but we're doing it on purpose. We're doing it because we see the whole entire plan. Now we know. Jesus sat there as a mediator for 2,000 years. And Brother Branham said in the breach, he said, the Lamb is the only mediator. See? He was the one that came forth. And what did he do? He's been back here interceding until his blood has atoned for every person. And the Lamb now knows what's written in a book. So he knowed from the foundation of the world the names that were in there. So he stood back here. But it was mediated. The mediator work till everyone that's been put on the book had been redeemed and finished. Until you manifest it, redemption wasn't applied. Though it was paid for at Calvary, it was applied down through the ages. The 2,000-year-old bride body, that was where redemption was going on. And that included you. It had to include you in that last stage, or there would have been no blood for you. And without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. So you had to be included in that seventh age messengers, in the blood that was sprinkled. The mediator work was going on till everyone that's been on the book had been redeemed. And it's finished. And now he walks out, see. He's done his kinsman work. He is all, you know what the kinsman work was? To testify before the elders. You remember Boaz kicking off his shoes. Remember? And when I read this, I thought, that's why those elders were for the throne. You remember Boaz kicking off his shoes and so forth. He has done all this now. Now he's come to take his bride. Amen. He's come now as king. He's looking to his queen. Amen. In this book is the whole secret of it, wrapped up around seven seals. Seven seals waiting for him to come. Now notice. Now Brother Branham was trying to show us that in that opening of those seven seals, the whole plan of redemption was released. And now we know every bit of it. When they asked Jesus when he's going to come, he couldn't tell them. But when the seals were ripped off, now we can tell them. It's no longer hidden from us. And we're standing here with the seven thunders. We're standing here with the complete understanding of the Word of God. Now he's taking that perfect faith, which we have, and he's putting it into action, bringing about a body change for us and them. But God, it's only potential till it happens. God's word said it's going to happen. But until it happens, it's still potential. Thessalonians 4 said he's going to do it. But until it happens, it's still potential. We're going to be changed in a moment of a twinkling of an eye. But until it happens, it's still potential. When it happens, God will say, now I know. Now I see the entire bride body. Now, Revelation 10 says it is finished. At the opening of the seals, the perfect revelation of the perfect word came on the scene. And now we know. We know that God's going to build a bride body. How do you know? Because this proof is, he's done it. He said he's going to restore his word at the end time. How do you know? Because he's done it. I mean, you know, all this is building our faith. And he said he's going to send us a prophet. And he's done it. And he said there's going to be a last bride in the last days. And he's done it. Now we're sitting here knowing just like he's knowing. With perfect faith. And that's what built our perfect faith. The opening of the seals brought us perfect faith. Amen. This is where I was trying to get to all day. Now we see what he's already done. When he came off that throne, he wasn't coming to do anything but to claim that which he's already redeemed. It's finished. Listen to what Brother Branham said in the first seal. He says, and then there comes forth the seven mysterious thunders that's not even written at all. That's right. And I believe that through those seven thunders will be revealed in the last days in order to get the bride together for rapturing faith. Amen. Those seven seals brought us to the perfect faith, brought us to the rapture faith. Now we know what God has already done. It's no longer potential, it's reality. We're sitting here with a perfect revelation of everything that God had already planned. He said, and I believe that those seven thunders will be revealed in the last days in order to get the bride together for rapturing faith. Those seven thunders did that for us. What did the seven thunders do? It revealed the entire story of redemption. Because what we got right now wouldn't be able to do it. There is something. See, Brother Brennan was nipping at it in 63. He knew it was the opening of the seals. When he opened those seals, he didn't know. And so he was saying, there's something we need. We've got to get something. And he was pressing and he was pushing it. And he knew that it was coming. He said here, he said, right now what we have won't be able to do it. There is something. We've got to step further. We can't have enough faith for divine healing, hardly. We've got to have enough faith to be changed in a moment and sweep up out of the earth.
Yeah, right.
He knew when he was preaching the seals that there was something that was lacking. Right. And when he preached the seventh seal, it went across an unknown tongue. And Brother Branham himself did not know. Right. But somewhere between the opening of that seventh seal and Christ the mystery, then Jesus came. Because Brother Branham said in Christ the Mystery, and I don't have the quote here with me, but he said, what people don't understand is that that seventh seal was the coming of the Lord. And when the Lord came, he came with the understanding of the entire Bible. That's why we know what we know. That's why we have a clear understanding. That's why we can now have perfect faith. Because the perfect God brought the perfect faith to the perfect bride.
Amen.
Brother Branham said here in the countdown, he said, now look, I said some pretty rough things about airplanes, automobiles. Remember, there are horsepower too. All of those are horsepower. The church is just moving up. Holy Ghost power. It's the Holy Ghost that we're justified by. You ministers know that, don't you? The Holy Ghost sanctifies us. The Holy Ghost fills us. The Holy Ghost gives us rapturing faith. Sins are moving up. They went from justification, sanctification, restoration of the gifts, all the way to the end time bride having rapturing faith. What is rapturing faith? Faith to understand the whole Word of God, that we now know what God was doing the whole time. It's no longer hidden from us. We're not here trying to figure this out. We know what it is. We know what to do with the Word now. Every bit of that. Luke chapter 18, verse 7. Verse 6. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. This is an unjust judge. It's a parable he was reading. He says, and shall not avenge his own elect, which cried day and night unto him, though he bear long with them. He waited. He stood in the gap. He bared with it. He watched them kill them down through the ages. They cried day and night. We've been crying for 2,000 years. He watched us being slaughtered. He watched us being deceived. He's watched us being put in denominations. He watched us pray day and night, not knowing what we know now. But he said, he heard Jesus was telling him, he says, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which he said over there when he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The second part of that was vengeance. Shall not God avenge his own elect, which cried day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? Amen. He sat there and bared for 2,000 years. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, here's the question Jesus asked, shall he find faith on the earth? Rapturing faith. Perfect faith. A clear understanding of everything. When God returned in the Son of Man ministry, at the end time, the Son of Man ministry is only twice. It happened in the days of Jesus, and it happened at the end time. The question Jesus asks is, will he find faith on earth? Yes, he will. Because he didn't come back to the opening of the seals. And we know it's perfect faith because it's the perfect God that brought it. Brother Branham said, now, I may not have faith enough to make every word of it act, but I certainly wouldn't stand way of anybody that does have that faith. Any have faith enough one day to take an afternoon stroll with God and just keep on walking, went up home without dying. Now, I think the church has got to come to that. To a rapturing faith. Remember what I told you what rapturing faith is? I may not have the faith just now, and this is what our prophet's saying. I may not have the faith just now, but I sure wouldn't stand in the way of somebody that does have that faith. Those that are alive and remain will have that faith. Because those that are alive and remain are sitting here with rapturing faith. The whole picture. We understand the whole thing now. We're not trying to figure it out. We have perfect faith, and it's in action.
Amen.
It's in our very lives. This is what we do. It's how we choose our lives. It's how we choose our mates. It's how we choose our walk. It's how we choose our job. We trick jobs around where we can get to church. We work around when we can get to church. We marry somebody who's in the body, who loves the Word of God. We choose our mates that way. That's how I chose mine. If Clarice didn't love God, she wouldn't have got a bit of me. I wanted somebody first who loved God. Over top of anything else.
Amen.
That's first. And I ain't talking about somebody that's talking God. I'm talking to somebody whose actions speaks louder than their words.
Amen.
That's the person I'm looking for. That's the person he's looking for. That's the person God's acting for. He says, now, he may not have enough faith, but somebody's going to do it. Now, Brother Brown said here, and I'm sort of rushing here, supernatural food in due season. He said, and I want you to get built up on this, built up in the holy oracles of God, in the faith of this hour. Now, the faith is going to take more faith than ever was in this age. For this has to be rapturing faith. Be taken up. And so we want you to believe tonight in all that you've seen, heard, the word that you've heard preached, the signs and the wonders that you've seen done. Want you to accumulate all that together in your heart and consider it whether it be God or not. Now's the time for you to just think about the whole picture. Don't just think about your sickness right now. Think about what you've seen God done here, 1744 Superior Avenue. How God's healed cancer. God's raised the dead. God's healed sickness. God's given livers. God's done, he's done kidneys. He's done anything and everything. He's done a thing. He's given kids where they shouldn't have kids. He's had marriages held together by the word of God where they should have fallen apart. Over 60, 70% of the marriages fall apart and end up in divorce. We've seen God hold us together. We've seen God, even when we do go through divorce, still find a way to make it right with us. We've seen God take us and overcome. I want you to accumulate all these things together, because all those things are what is built into what rapturing faith is about. And those small things, which the things I mentioned, just small things, are what's going to build your faith to understand and know that the hour that we're living in, perfect faith is on the scene. Rapturing faith is on the scene. This bride knows what it is. Now we know. We're not sitting here wondering and guessing. We've seen what God's done. We've seen God restore his word. We've seen God bring a prophet. We've seen this message come to life in our very own lives. Now we know. We're living in a world of perfect faith. I'm going to just jump on down. I read this at home. Brother Branham said in Question and Answers, 1 Thessalonians 13 says, when that which is perfect has come, that which is in part shall be done away with. So all these things of jumping up and down like a kid, trying to talk in tongues, and all these other things, when that which is perfect, and we do have today, by God's grace, the perfect interpretation of the word with divine vindication. And we have that here. Then that which is in part will be done away with. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. We have the perfect interpretation of the word now. Now we do know. That's why you can ask anything. Bring anything up. We have perfect understanding of everything that God had in his mind that he was going to do. We know all the way up to the body change. We know it all. So why are you holding back? Why are you just let go? The perfect interpretation of the word is here. Perfect faith in action is here. God can take your life and make it perfect, just like his word. Oh, you might have your days up and down, but you know what? That won't change the word. That won't make or break God's word. As he said over there in 1 Corinthians 13, we know in part, we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part will be done away with. We no longer sit here guessing and wondering about the shadows and trying to figure out what this is in the dark. The light's on now, people. We see it all. That's why the Spirit and the bride say come. She knows who she is. She's on her feet. She understands perfectly what God's asking for. She understands perfectly how to surrender to the will of God. And God's looking at you because you are the final voice to the final age. And if he doesn't see himself manifested out of you, it ain't going to happen. You say, well, if I'm predestinated, I'll be there. Now you see how silly that is. See how silly that sounds now. If I'm predestined, I'll be there. Your very actions prove you're not. Right. And he knows by your actions. What you do shows whether you're in the perfect will of God and if perfect work, perfect faith is in action in your life. and he's watching because he wants to see you overcome. He wants you to prosper. He wants you to do well. He's not setting traps in the way. That's Satan. God wants you to overcome. He wants you to overcome. He wants you to have a good testimony. He wants you to be healed. He wants all these things. And we believe God for it all now because we know who we are. So now that the perfect word is here and perfect faith is here, I want our two sisters to come up. We're going to pray for them today. And we prayed for them. You said, well, we pray for you. Come on. So, I know it's going to hurt you to get here. Well, I pray it don't hurt to go back. But why not, sis? But we've seen it. The perfect word is on the scene. We're not guessing at this. We know who's here. We know who's here. And if he's here, and if he's healed one, it's not beyond him to do it again. Got proof right in your arms. Blood issues? We ain't worried about that. What the doctor says, God bless them, they do the best they can, but they're not the perfect word. And this is children's bread. Now that your faith is high, God says, just ask. What doesn't hurt to ask? It doesn't hurt to ask. You say, but I asked last week. What's a new week? I asked yesterday. It's a new day. I asked this morning. It's the end of service now. You know, we're here. God's here. Amen. The perfect word's here.
Amen.
Come on up, Luke. He's here. And while he's here, I want him to deal with us. I want him to touch. I want him to heal. It's not beyond him. It's not too hard. He just wants to know if you want it bad enough. If you want it as bad as he wants to give it, you can have it. Oh, just by you stepping forward, he said, now I know you want it. We're going to pray for you again and again and again. And we're going to keep praying. We're going to keep going to that unjust judge. And we're going to not stop until he gives us the desire of our heart. We're not going to give up like they did down through the ages because they didn't know who they were. We know who we are. And we're asking God to do what's so easy for him to do. Now he knows you surrender and come to him. So now he can take it from here. All he asks you to do is step forward. And as you step forward, God will take care of the rest. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. We bring our sisters and our brother before you. Lord, you said, ask it, it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. Lord, well, all we can do is come and ask. But that's all you want us to do, Lord. We surrender to you and give you all of our life, knowing that the perfect word is on the scene. Rapture and faith is on the scene. And Lord, just healing is just a small rapture. Just a small example of what you're going to do to the entire body. Ask you to move on these behalfs, Lord. Touch our sisters' bodies. Satan's lying to them and trying to get them to claim something that doesn't even belong to them. Lord, we ask you to touch Luke's foot. And Lord, the sickness that's trying to affect his home and his family. And Father, we bind Satan in the name of Jesus Christ and ask you to move according to the word of God. Lord, it's the bride standing here with a perfect understanding, knowing who we are, and ask you to move in these cases. Thank you for everything you've done. Thank you for this word this morning. Lord, let us walk out of here with a new adventure, a new walk in life, and a new step forward, knowing that, Lord, we may not have done what all we should have done, but, Lord, today's a new day. And, Lord, we know who we are, and we ask you to go with us so that you will know that we're believers in your word and we're standing on your promises. We ask these things in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you all. I see the Word made flesh again in this our day. God and man forever to stay. Yes, it is. That's right. It did. It did. It is.
Believe
it. It is. Before we got out of church, Sister Early text Ted and said the hurricane just changed course. It was supposed to come right through their town and it changed course. And she said it actually split a little bit. And then it came across the rest of Florida and hit. I checked with Brother Tony. The son's fine. I checked with my friends. They're fine. Check with my family. They're fine. God knows what He's doing. So don't worry about the circumstances and what it looks like. Oh, it looked pretty bad for that storm. But it ain't nothing for God to just move it over a little bit. Inches can make a difference. And they might say you have a blood issue, but like I told Sister Christy, don't claim it. It's not yours. It's Satan's. And we're going to believe for her test tomorrow. We're going to believe that God's going to move. We know the perfect Word is here. We know that this is the perfect Word in action right before your very eyes. And God just wants to see what you're going to do with it. I see the Word made flesh again. Best our day, for it's God in man forever to stay. Oh, what a glorious revelation just to know and understand that Christ has come down and He's united with the next phase. The next phase will be when we see our precious loved ones get up. They'll say, come on now, it's supper time. We'll change and go up to meet the Lord in the air and be eternally with Him and His glory. We will share where there could never be a sin. I see the Word in this our day, for is God in man forever to stay. What a glorious revelation just to know and understand that Christ has come down and He's united with man. Come on up, voices.